I'd like to start actually with a quote from a recent interview I did with Arundhati Roy that's published in the International Socialist Review. And the quote was about what the real fight is. And Arundhati said, it's that we're up against an economic system that is suffocating the majority of the people in this world. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to address it? So I thought that would be a really easy way to get into the evening. What are we going to do about it, and how are we going to address it?
That's not fair. I think one of the things that we have to understand, and I think in particular here in America, I've just been here for 3 days now, and obviously have, felt the electricity in the air about the coming elections. And just, in May, we had a very important election in India. And I think one of the dangers that we face is that it all becomes about personalities, and we forget that the system is in place, and it doesn't matter all that much who's piloting the machine, So this whole fierce debate about the Democrats and the Republicans and whether Bush or Kerry is better, it's like, in fact, being asked to choose a detergent, whether you choose Tide or Ivory Snow, they're both owned by Procter & Gamble. And so, first of all, we have to understand, and I know that all of you do understand that, elections are just an apparent choice now. In India, we were faced with outright fascism with the BJP and sort of covert communalism that the Congress Party had indulged in for 50 years, preparing the ground in many ways for the right wing. It was the Congress Party that actually opened India's markets to corporate globalization. But the one difference was that at least in their election campaign, at least they had to lie. At least they had to say that they were against their old policies. But here, they don't even do you the dignity of that. The Democrats are not even pretending that they are against the war or against the occupation. And that, I think, is very important, because the anti-war movement in America has been so phenomenal, a service not just to Americans, but to all of us in the world. And you can't allow them to hijack your beliefs and put your weight behind somebody who's openly saying that he believes in the occupation, that he would have attacked Iraq even if he had known there were no weapons of mass destruction, that he will actually get UN cover for the occupation, that he will try and get Indian and Pakistani soldiers to go and die in Iraq instead, and that the Germans and the French and the Russians might be able to share in the spoils of the occupation. Is that better or worse for somebody who lives in the subject nations of empire? And the fact is that we all know that what is happening is that there is a system of economic disparity that is being entrenched in the world today. It isn't an accident. It isn't an accident that, 580 billionaires in the world have greater income than, I think the figure is 170 of the poorest countries. Something like that. I don't quite remember the figures, but the fact is that the disparities in the world are huge, and the disparities are not between rich countries and poor countries, but between rich people and poor people. So what do we do about it? We understand a few things. One is that the system of electoral democracy as it stands today is premised on a religious acceptance of the nation state. But the system of corporate globalization is not. The system of corporate globalization is premised on the fact that liquid capital can move through poor countries at an enormous scale, dictating the agendas, forcing them to, dictating economic policy in those countries by insinuating itself into those economies. And that capital requires the coercive powers of the nation state to contain the revolt in the servants' quarters, but it ensures that individual countries cannot stand up to the project of corporate globalization, which is why you have even people like Lula of Brazil or Mandela of South Africa who were giants in the opposition but reduced to dwarves on the global stage, blackmailed by the threat of capital flight. So theoretically, the only way to confront this is what all of us are involved in, which is the globalization of dissent, which is the joining of hands of people who do not believe in empire. We have to join hands across countries and across continents in very specific ways and stop this, because it isn't inevitable, globalization. It is signed by specific contracts with specific signatures and specific governments and specific companies. And we have to bring that